Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. A few minutes past 4 p.m. DGS. Thanks again to everyone who came out today to Hardee's on Route 3. Raised, I think, $3,000. So just people are being so generous. This ends a week from tomorrow. So we have 1 week left. So please, 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 even if you've already gone through Hardee's and you've already given a dollar or five or 10, please do it again. We had several people hand us wads of 20s today, had a couple of companies write checks for $250, hoping that a lot of you out there that have money and who own businesses and are going to make charitable contributions will give it to us. Just, you know, being direct, give me your money for Operation Food Search. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be on Fox 2, the 9 o'clock show. So if you give a rat's ass about that, you can watch it or DVR it and watch us after that.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought of one person that we needed to shout out who came by this morning that we forgot to in the first part of the show. And that is the associate producer of the Mark Cox Morning Show, Mr. Zach Factor.
Yeah.
Came by. And it was so nice. He came by and donated to Operation Food Search. And that was just really cool. Thank you, Zach.
It was very nice. I could barely hear all the grievances he was airing against Mark Cox because he was chewing up the hamburgers.
That's how he is.
I heard bastard a couple times and insufferable, but hey, Mark.
Hey, we'll get that straightened out tomorrow morning. Don't you worry, Dave.
Yeah,
thank you.
I would have an uncomfortable conversation with him. I don't know.
Well, you got a few words out of him anyway. We have to encourage Zach to talk in the morning. He's not like Andrew.
Yeah. Like, are you sure you want to be a stand-up comedian, Zach?
We should trade for a week or so.
Oh, that's great. How
that
about
that? That
would
be a great stunt to switch Andrew and Zach for a week and just see what happened.
Or,
oh, Andrew would hate that schedule.
Why stop there? We could switch me and Mark out.
There you go.
As long as I don't have to work the morning shift, you switch whoever you
want. You're on to something. That would be a lot of fun for one day. What time you get here?
I get there about 4:30.
Yeah, I think Zach and Andrew works. Yeah, that'll work. So thank you for letting me be on your show today and promote. I had a few people say that they heard me this morning and came out because of that. That was very nice.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Dave. You guys are doing such a great work with that and help so many people in the area, and glad we could help any way we could.
And you have your own deal going on, right?
I do. The folks at Walnut Grill, who also happen to sponsor my show, every year for the last few years, they've been helping with the toy drive for the charity called Friends of Kids with Cancer. It's a great group. They do great work. They've been on my radar for years, and I've helped them out in the past, but they're just collecting unwrapped new toys at all their restaurant locations. So tonight from 5 to 7, I'm going to be live up at the Walnut Grill location in Ellisville, which is in Clarkson and Clayton out here in the Deerbergs Plaza. But you can drop toys off at any of their three locations. They got bins set out, and all they're asking for, they're going to turn them all in this Saturday. So Friday is sort of the deadline, and this is their last-minute push to get new toys for these kids.
That's great. I'm a big Walnut Grill fan. There's one right out on Highway K that I go to, so...
Yeah, yeah. And they're also going to give folks a discount on their bill if they show up and drop a toy off and decide to eat or, you know, go to the bar for appetizers, whatever the case may be. So that's nice of him. He gives back in a lot of ways. He helped us out recently with our effort for first responders too. So
very nice.
They do good work. Yeah, thank you.
Mark, since I have you, I was only able to watch Lindsey Graham's opening today of the hearing with Horowitz, so I didn't get to see any of the testimony, but I'm a big Lindsey Graham fan, as I said an hour ago. In general, I like how straightforward he is. I like the way he speaks and shoots from the hip, and I thought he just decimated this FISA report.
Well, he pointed out a lot, you know, the spin machines went into effect when the report came out Monday. Republicans saw what they wanted to see. Democrats and James Comey saw what he and they wanted to see. And, you know, the bottom line is as Lindsey Graham pointed out in his closing argument today, no American citizen should have to go through what Carter Page went through. Even if you accept the fact that Operation Crossfire Hurricane, the Rolling Stones reference there, was a legitimate investigation when it started, that they got a tip somehow, somebody maybe trying to infiltrate this low-level guy in the Trump campaign. Even if you accept that that was legitimate, a legitimate tip, within a couple of months, like by January of 2017, before the president was even sworn into office, they had exculpatory evidence that there was really nothing to this, but they kept going anyway. That's what Lindsey Graham did such a good job of drilling down on today. He's like, at some point, somebody should have stopped this, but instead it dragged on for 2 years. It turned into a special counsel, and all the while there were people at the FBI that knew there was nothing to it. That's a shame.
So does that, okay, can the Trump administration, in your estimation, connect these two things? Can they in any way bring this into the ultimate impeachment trial in the Senate and say, look, this isn't just about Ukraine. This whole thing goes all the way back to XYZ.
I think they'll try. I do. And, you know, I talked to Senator Blunt this morning. He called into my show, and, you know, he said that the White House is kind of pushing to bring in witnesses in the Senate. And I think Mitch McConnell and a few people, I'm sorry about that. I think Mitch McConnell and a few people have fought back on that, Dave.
Hold on. I'm not quite sure.
Can you still hear me? Sorry, I had a problem there. Sorry about that. I think Mitch McConnell and a few people have pushed back on that idea, because once you open up that can of worms and you start to bring in Hunter Biden and all this other stuff, I think there's a risk that it doesn't go exactly how you had hoped.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hope so. I mean, the president said he was surveilled at Trump Tower, and we're still debating that today. If you look at this report, there's no doubt that there was surveillance at Trump Tower. It may not have been directed at Donald Trump, but it was trying to be directed at Michael Flynn and Carter Page and other people who were in Trump Tower. This whole thing, the point is, it should have wrapped up 24 months before it did, and it didn't. And that's really a travesty of justice.
So, Mark, get out your crystal ball. What do you think the winter and spring of 2020 hold in store for us, just as far as politically, who wins, who loses, backlash, who's taking the biggest risk? How do you see this?
Yeah, I think that the Democratic Party loses, and I know I'm a conservative. You know where I'm coming from on this. I only say that because they're the ones that chose to go there, and now they're going to turn this impeachment process over to the Republican-controlled Senate. And if they hold a trial, they can make it last as long as they want. Well, guess what happens in February? Super Tuesday. Four of the Democrat contenders for president are senators, Dave. They're going to have to sit like a jury panel in the Senate while this thing is heard. Republicans can drag it out as long as they want. Who does it help? Maybe it helps Joe Biden a little bit because he's not a senator right now, won't have to be there. Maybe it helps Pete Buttigieg. Because he's kind of been floundering a little bit, but if you pull Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders off the campaign trail for a month leading up to Super Tuesday, who does that help? It helps the people who are a little further down the chain. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Democrats in April, May of this year with such a scattered field of votes at that point from their primary that they're facing going into the Democratic National Convention and it being brokered. And I think that's kind of what Mike Bloomberg and Hillary Clinton are hoping for, to be honest.
And 60-second version of a brokered convention?
Well, nobody's got enough delegates to win, so then they have to present candidates and take votes on the floor until they get enough support at the convention for one candidate over another. And it's usually a 3 or 4 or 5 stage process where they start whittling the people down, the potential candidates. I mean, it hasn't happened in a long time. But if they get to the convention in July and they don't, nobody's got enough delegates because everybody won this primary or that primary, that's what you could be facing. I think it's an interesting scenario.
I heard a Democratic representative today say that if he's acquitted and reelected, we'll just impeach him again.
Yeah, I ran that bite this morning from one of the female House of Representatives members. I'm not surprised. You know, what they did was they presented her with a scenario. What happens if Donald Trump, this fails in the Senate and he gets reelected? She goes, oh, well, by then all these other issues will have worked themselves out in the court, and we may have three or four other articles we can bring forward. They're not going to stop. This is all about overturning the results of an election. I'm sorry. Suck it up. You lost in 2016. Guess what? It's a blood battle, and it's going on again right now. And in 2020, you have another chance. Win or lose, don't try to go through a back door and remove a duly elected president. I think the American people are seeing through it, Dave.
And so tonight you are at Walnut Grill in Ellisville from 5 to 7 p.m. People need to come by and see you and bring new unwrapped toys for Friends of Kids with Cancer.
They can, and I stole a bunch of those DGS beanies, and I'm going to have those there. No, I'm just kidding.
I said this morning whenever I called in that next year Mark should do a campaign like this, but do the Mark Cox toupee and just have a toupee made that looks like Mark's hair. I love it.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
If you do that, Mark, I'll wear one for a month.
Dave, I appreciate you, brother.
I may never take it off. That may be my new look.
I like it.
All right, buddy. Thanks for everything you're doing for that charity, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, we appreciate you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
425 DGS, Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So, pretty nice day.
Yeah, it's okay.
Not bad at all.
No. And tomorrow's okay. Next day's okay.
Good. Keep it going.
It's okay. You know, it's not spring fever, but it's okay. Saturday, a lot of clouds around. Might be a little spit of rain or a little spit of wet snow here and there. Temperatures warmest in the morning on Saturday, about 45, then dropping into the 30s during the afternoon. Sunday is a cold day, windy, lots of clouds, snow flurries around, and 32. That's it for the high. And still on the table is something trying to get going Sunday night and into Monday. Again, yesterday we were talking the trend is a little colder. So the trend is for a little bit of snow the way it's looking right now. But we follow Dave's rule of thumb here. This Dave, not that Dave, is you never jump on anything until that storm gets over the Rockies and redevelops, and then we know which way it's going. Don't rely on computer models to go, oh, yeah, we know where this storm's going to pop out. You know what? They don't. And neither do I at this point. You have to wait. Then you can make a good forecast.
This is just what Andrew was saying earlier.
Yeah, verbatim.
About the computers. They're not as good as people.
Right.
That's right.
That's exactly
I
what
agree.
He said.
Occasionally, Andrew's got it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Just thinking about what that guy said to him again.
Yeah, Dave Murray, today we were at Hardee's raising money for Operation Food Search, and Dave and Andrew and I were all out there, and a listener came up to us and said, oh, Andrew, you're not what I thought you looked like at all. And we were all like, well, what do you mean? And he goes, I thought you'd be skinnier.
Oh, great.
It was mean.
It's like the first time I met Dave, and the first thing he said to me was, wow, I thought you'd be taller.
That's right.
It's like, wow, I waited 20 years for this insult. I don't know. I'm not a royal person. I don't really care about them, but this does intrigue me. Queen Elizabeth, who is 93, my mom yelled at Rachel today and said, don't let Dave tell people I'm 93, I'm 92.
She didn't yell at
me.
No.
I'm saying, like, keep Dave in line. She says that she may retire at 95 and give the throne to Prince Charles. It seems very selfish of me of her to stay on the throne until she's 93 or 95. Let the man have his chance.
Oh, yeah. But most
he's an old guy too.
Most people do it until they're dead.
I was going to say, I'm not sure he wants it. Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. The younger ones don't seem to want it.
He does.
Charles wants it.
He doesn't care.
No doubt about
it. Does.
I'm sure he wants it, but why does he? I mean, he was literally born into it because of her. So it's not like she's taking anything
exactly.
from him. This is a completely arbitrary position that he was born into. He'll get his time. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it's not her fault that she's going to live forever.
Do most, like, I don't know much about the royal family going back. Do most of them serve until their deathbed?
Yeah.
Think so.
Yes.
She's,
okay.
she's just living a really long time.
And got in at an incredibly young age.
Yeah,
because
that's okay.
the way it all worked out.
All right,
wasn't
I'm
even,
wrong then.
It wasn't even supposed to be her.
Check out PBS's The Crown.
Yeah.
No,
what,
I can't.
It wasn't even supposed to be her. It wasn't
that's
her,
right.
It wasn't her line.
Really?
Yeah, and then she had like an uncle.
Yeah, the uncle didn't want to do it or something.
Yeah, the uncle
oh,
either
is he the
died.
One that abdicated to be
yes.
with the woman from America?
And then, it was a divorcee.
Yes.
And then
yes.
that gave it to her at a super young age. She was like 15 or something.
Yeah.
Did those two stay together?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going in.
I know that from another PBS
but
special.
But if you don't
watch.
Think, if you don't think
actually,
Prince
it's
Charles,
Netflix, I think.
And
yeah,
all
it might
the,
have started PBS.
And all the media yeah. stuff and all this, the stuff that Prince Charles has gone through in his life. If you don't think he wants to have it all pay off by being king for at least a short period of time,
king for a day.
Of course, he wants to be king.
I would. I mean, I'm only speaking for myself. But if I'm in the royal line. I want to be king.
Yeah. You want to be king at least for a period of time so you have that you're immortalized in that role.
It's not like he can't be. It's just not going to happen tomorrow.
No.
How old is he? Like 70s?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it goes to the Baldwin?
Will. Yeah.
And William.
Kate. Will and Kate. Yeah.
He likes to be called the bald one, though.
So right. if it's King
right.
William.
Talk about insults.
Then is it Queen Kate?
No. Well, it's like Queen Emeritus or something. It's like got some.
So you're not queen
she's
unless
not, no.
you are the ruler.
She's not queen queen.
She'll have some other title, and I can't remember.
It's queen something.
Is because the current one, right, it's Queen Elizabeth and Prince blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, Prince Andrew, right?
No. Stand by.
Does
Prince
her 90
Philip, Prince Philip.
Five-year-old husband
news.
Still run over people?
Prince Philip, and he's like 95, and he's a prince. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
he's
it's
not
Philip,
king.
Right? Mm-hmm. Prince Philip.
Mm-hmm.
So much of this sounds so like...
She will have the word queen in her title, but it won't... It's like queen...
Okay.
Something.
I can't believe we're doing this. If William...
Yeah, Will goes...
If William is the king,
yeah.
he's married to Kate,
yeah.
and he dies,
yeah.
is she anything... Or does it go then to someone else?
Someone else. It goes to their son.
So she's never going to be queen.
It goes to, what's the first kid's name? George, maybe?
Yeah, that is.
It goes to their first kid.
And do they have any actual authority to do anything?
Actually, more power than you realize.
They just don't exercise it.
They don't exercise it, but they have more power. They have more power than you realize.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I think they exercise it, but I don't think you ever hear about it.
I was surprised.
I think their opinions are known.
I was surprised when I saw how much power they actually have.
We have Carolyn, our Great Britain correspondent. Hello, Carolyn.
Oh, thank you,
it's
Carolyn.
Hey,
Dave. How are you?
Great. I don't care what you say. Just say words.
Well, I was just listening to what you were saying about Prince Charles wanting to be king. He really doesn't actually want to be king as much as most people would wager that he does. And in fact, most of Britain is sort of sitting around saying, please, please don't let the Queen quit her job. She can't because she's doing a great job of maintaining status quo and, you know, not throwing a wrench in the works, much like her son would because he's kind of flying off the handle.
Do you think there's any, like, whenever he does become king, whether it's because she steps away or because she passes away, do you think that he just does it for a couple of years, gives it to them so they can, there can be once again a ruler that will be in place for decades instead of just a short period of time? Like, he'll do it, but not for very long, give it to them and let them have a big, long 40, 50 year reign.
Well, quite honestly, I think that at this point, Charles is at an age where he doesn't really necessarily get to make that decision insofar as when the Queen finally passes away and he is next in line, this is a question of whether or not he outlives, you know, if he lives up to a certain age where he can continue with these duties, if he decides that, oh, you know, I'm going to throw in the towel and hand it off to one of my sons. That's going to cause even more controversy because he will have effectively been a sitting duck. So,
Gotcha.
So you're the only British person I know. What do most of the British people you know think of the whole Prince Andrew Epstein thing?
Oh, good Lord. That is a horrible, ugly mess. In general, most people are... They're outraged up to a point, and I think that's largely down to the fact that, well, most of British politics is mired in a horrible mess and has been for at least the last 10 years. So to find out that yet another one, another public figure and much less a royal has been implicated in, you know, a lot of these child sex scandals is it's not an entire surprise, but it's still a horrible, ugly stain on the royal family. So most people are outraged and disgusted.
So. Okay, so let's say that we're sitting in a pub in London, and a Londoner says, oh, royal family, schmoyle family, I'm so sick of these people. Who the hell do they think they are? Is that, like, blasphemous, or is that a very common thing that people say?
It's actually really quite common, and most of that is down to the fact that most British people... across the board, you know, across the four countries, you've split into two categories. Either you're a royalist and you love the royal family and you think the sun shines out of the back end, or you think, you know, it's pointless. They're just sitting there sucking up our taxes and they really just don't really represent anything anymore and they're archaic and they need to go away and, you know, they just don't really fulfill much of a purpose anymore. So it's not really as much of a strong debate as, say, Brexit is right now, but yeah. People definitely fall on either side of the coin. So for you to sit, and, you know, if you were sitting in the middle of a pub in London saying, oh, God, you know, the royal family, they're just past it. Why are you bothering anymore? And it's not the, you know, 1500s anymore. No one would, you know, throw a beer over your head.
And I get the sense, I could be completely wrong, but I get the sense on Brexit that it was like, let's rush them. And then you do it and everyone was like, oh my God, that thing passed. What the hell are we going to do? Is that anywhere near true?
Honestly, the British people really, we're on the world stage, we're really embarrassed by what's going on. It's the fact that the referendum happened and no one expected that people were actually going to show up and then the vote was cast and then it's just this stupid political football that's been kicked around over and over again to the point that now most British people are at the point where they have had the will sucked out of them and they just don't care. They just want any decision. And I think it's to the point that where Americans are exhausted from turning on the news and just hearing the catfighting and the you know, it's just the constant insults and no one's actually really talking about anything substantial. The same thing is happening in British politics where the general public are just like, just go ahead and make a decision. We really don't care at this point. The people who do tend to stand on the one side saying, no, we've got to fight to the death for this. We really shouldn't give in. And Boris Johnson's making horrible decisions.
Yeah.
That's one voice. It's not the majority. But by and large, the people in the middle, it's very much like what's happening in the US. The people in the middle are the ones that are saying, look, we just really want this show over and done with. We need a decision either way. We need to move forward. We're not going anywhere. Just sitting in the middle of this porridge, it's just horrible.
So last question. Can you speak in an American accent?
I mean, I could if I wanted to, but it doesn't sound good. It tends to sound like a valley girl, you know. It's not pretty.
Wow, that's like
I feel seen.
I am humiliated for our country. That is what Carolyn thinks of us. All right, Carolyn, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Not what I expected.
Wow, she did it.
She did it.
Yep. Right on
Queen
cue.
Consort, Sue.
Queen Consort.
Queen Consort, yeah, will like be her title.
If I were calling into a British show and they're like, hey, can you do a British accent? And I was like, hello! Hello, Governor! Hello, Amy Mark Scores.
Hello.
Oh, God. Why did I know?
I did ask if I could do the Charlie Brennan show with a British accent, and that was promptly... closed. That door was closed.
I don't know why.
It would add, you know, a little bit of exotic authority, I think.
I think it makes you sound smarter. I feel...
Oh, my God, yes.
I feel so highly educated for the first time listening to this show.
Right?
For the last couple of minutes.
Dave, you literally said to Carolyn, like, I don't know any other British people, but can you describe exactly the way most British people feel? And we all just took her answer as gospel.
That's
We're
right.
Like, yep, probably.
I stand by it.
I trust that accent.
Yeah, I stand by it. All accents are good, right?
I love accents. I wish I had an accent.
Absolutely. I feel like, and of course, we don't think we have an accent because we're speaking it, but I really do feel like no one goes, oh my God, I love American men. You know, like I've been to Europe and it's just like, maybe it's just me, but no one seems enthralled by Americans. Say this word for me.
Right. The only country where people actually told me, I love your American accent, was Australia.
Hmm.
That was the consensus in different cities around Australia. They loved the American accent.
Are you able to do a British accent that you are so confident in you will take it to the air?
Well, I'm not good at it. I am often wrong, but never in doubt.
So you wanted to do a terrible British accent
yes.
for the legend Charlie Brennan show. Can't believe they shot that down.
See, they told me, this is what they said, there's no bad ideas. And I'm like, well, here's an idea.
Then they found
Except
one.
Except that one.
Yeah. Like, just open your mind. I'd like to always speak in pig Latin.
Yes.
There's not a lot of pig Latin on the St. Louis airwaves, and I think I could be the one to introduce it.
Outside the box.
All right, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
When we come back, we'll get Amy's opinion on everything going on in the world of politics. 447 DGS, Amy Mark Scores is here from KMOX. I feel like a big deal. I just got a text from Stacey Washington. That's fun.
I know.
Yeah.
Stacey's great.
She is great.
That was actually like the first show I ever produced was hers when did Saturday Night. So
yeah,
it's just cool to see her.
I feel good making Stacey laugh. My over the top British accent made her laugh. She asked me to do an entire segment like that. So
oh, what a compliment!
But for the rest of the audience, I shall not.
Oh,
sorry to disappoint you too.
I know. I was kind of looking forward to it, honestly.
So what do you want to talk about? Floor is yours.
Well, okay. Well. We could talk a little bit about impeachment, I guess, since that seems to be the topic du jour for the past, 6 months before Trump was elected, probably. You know, I heard this question posed, and it's funny that I hadn't thought of it before, but just in one of the many political discussions that you listen to or read or watch, could Trump be the first president to face impeachment twice?
He absolutely could.
I think if he gets reelected,
it starts again.
It starts all over again. And there are a couple of reasons why I think this actually has a higher probability of happening than not happening. One, you'll get second term Trump. So maybe first term Trump is as chaotic as it gets. But the second term, it tends to be a no holds barred type of 4 years. So perhaps we get that version of Trump or he's just the same old Trump, and the left has to find something, some type of scandal, some reason with which to pursue impeachment again.
And he'll give it to him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to commit high crimes and misdemeanors, but he's Trump. He's right. going to do something that's going to twist him around in knots.
Yeah. You know, watching the proceedings over the past couple of days, there were a few phrases that struck me as so disingenuous that no matter which side of the aisle you fall on, you should be blushing for Nadler and Schiff. So at one point when talking about the impeachment process, Nadler would have referred to Trump's actions as unprecedented, categorical, and indiscriminate defiance of Congress. Schiff, when talking about the powers of impeachment, said they were given because someday a president may come to office who would abuse that office. So both Schiff and Nadler are treating this as if President Trump's actions, his bizarre conversation with Ukraine, which I think we can all admit was inappropriate, is the worst thing that any president has ever done. I'm not sure how they're able to make that statement with a straight face, unless they truly are that ignorant of history, which they're not, or they just are counting on the American people having short memories, which they do. We should not forget, because I made a few items on a list here, that FDR in 1942 signed an executive order that allowed him to intern 120,000 American citizens of Japanese descent. He did that on his own by executive order. Woodrow Wilson resegregated civil service. He had fired people for their skin color, and he passed the Sedition Act, in which he threw political adversaries and dissenters in prison. He even instructed the post office not to deliver unpatriotic mail. Both Lincoln and John Adams suspended habeas corpus. Lincoln did so by executive fiat. JFK, among other things, shared a mistress with a leading Chicago mobster, which obviously set him up and put him in a position for blackmail. You have Lyndon Johnson asking the FBI and CIA to spy, and so forth and so forth. Obama was rebuked by the Supreme Court more than any other president in history. So I get it. If you want to impeach Trump and say that what he did was inappropriate, it was inappropriate. It is bad. He does often act beneath the office. But don't act like this corruption is brand new and we had this pristine, snowy white history that Trump just absolutely tore apart and stained.
I didn't know those things.
Yeah. The history is pretty stunning.
I mean, I knew about the internment camps, which I'll be honest with you, is so terrible that every time I hear it, I almost willfully get out of it.
Yeah.
It's just unimaginable. I mean, it is imaginable because World War II and Pearl Harbor was unimaginable, but taking that action, it's so unimaginable, not the right thing.
It's so un-American, and you know, there's been so many stories that have come out from people who have been who were in those internment camps, and did you know they said the Pledge of Allegiance every day?
Wow.
While in those camps. So you're behind a barbed wire fence and you're looking at an American flag. So we have a stained history. It doesn't mean all of those presidents were horrible people. They were human. They were imperfect. Some more imperfect than others. But I don't like this pretense that somehow Trump has done the worst of the worst in the history of America, because that's just not true. And it's not historically accurate. And I think the left particularly is playing the American people when they pretend that it is.
We talked about this yesterday. If they impeach him, they will. They won't remove him, but it's out there. He's the third president to be impeached. Mm-hmm. And he wins again, and then he goes off into the sunset, and Sanders is elected next time. Well, he'll be dead, but you know what I'm saying. Right. It's a Democrat. You personally, would you say, okay, you have set the rules. Let's go get them. Let's try to find something to impeach this Democrat president on, because that's the way you guys are going to play it. We're not going to be patsies. Or do you say, take the high road?
You know, I feel like the Republicans kind of did that with Clinton. You know, the little bit of the impeachment process and that independent counsel and Ken Starr and all of that. I mean, both sides can play dirty. I am less concerned about let me rephrase this. My concern is not that, okay, Republicans are just going to go after the next Democratic president. My concern is that Republicans aren't going to have anything to stand on when the next Democratic president tries to further expand executive office, tries to alienate half of the American people, and so forth. Why? Because when you can vote for Trump, you can support Trump, and still critique him. It's a normal thing to be able to critique somebody. You don't have to blindly follow him. And the danger in blindly following him is if you make yourself into a contortionist to say why what Trump says is totally fair and the ad hominem attacks are fair game. And yeah, let's alienate half the country because they didn't vote for you. And then also, declaring a national emergency with the wall. Now you have to picture a Democratic candidate doing that, Elizabeth Warren doing those things, and you have nothing to stand on because you've already defended it for Trump. That's what concerns me.
You're good. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate it.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.